You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum Level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. We use them right here in Berea. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Okay, Johnny Manziel meets the media after today's OTA practice. And what a shock, the first question he was asked concerned the Memorial Day weekend trip to Vegas.
No, not at all. I'm very surprised, actually, that it's actually a story. I mean, for me, I've accomplished dreams of mine that I'd never really thought I would get a chance to be in this position. And I've been here every day working extremely hard, coming in here every day trying to earn my place and do what I need to do. And for me to get a free weekend to spend some time with friends and family of mine and just have fun and relax and get away from the grind a little bit and then come back when I'm supposed to and get back to work this week and do what I'm supposed to do. I don't really feel that that's a story. I mean, it was a little bit of a break for us and just got to go enjoy it and relax.
Does it bother you that you can't have a private life, or have you learned to accept that?
I've learned to accept that for a while now. So I knew whether it was going anywhere, that a picture was going to be taken of me and that somebody was going to see me, whether it was going back home or going to anywhere or staying here. And maybe it would have been a less of a story somewhere else, but still I'm very surprised it is a story. But I knew going into it that I can't go anywhere without people knowing that I'm there or tweeting or doing whatever that I'm there. So I'm used to it by now, and fair, unfair, whatever it may be, that's my life.
How much do you think about the perception before you make decisions, about how much it will be perceived?
Yeah, I mean, I don't live my life according to you guys or according to what other people think of me. I'm going to live my life to the fullest and continue to be committed to this game and committed to what I need to be doing here and trying to earn my place in this locker room with these coaches, with this organization. And if I want to go out and have some fun and it doesn't hinder what my main goals in life are, then I don't really care what anybody has to say.
What's the difference today, running with the ones instead of the twos and threes?
You know, just plugging in whatever they really ask me to go, whatever group it is. I mean, I don't put any stock to that, or never too high or never too low on that. So I'm just trying to learn every day, learning from the mistakes that I do make. I mean, I've been here a couple weeks, had five or six practices, and I don't have all of it figured out, and I'm still learning as the days go on. So I feel like them putting me in some of those situations is just there's another speed level there, and just getting a little bit accustomed to it. But I don't put any stock into it.
Is there a mechanism for blocking at the circus, or are you just able to do it naturally?
I mean, I'm just really used to it. It's been life for so long now. I really wouldn't know what it would be like any other way. I can't really think back to the days of how it was when I didn't have people tweeting or taking pictures of wherever I was, and I don't mean that in a way that I have a big head or anything like that. It's just how things are. For some reason, wherever I go, people want to take pictures and they think I'm doing something wild when I'm just living a normal life.
Johnny, a lot of guys have won Heismans, a lot of guys have made flashy, cool plays, and a lot of guys have been number one picks. Do you ever wonder why in the world is it you that everyone seems to stick a camera in your face?
I wish it would have been the number one
well,
pick.
Well, number first
here,
round
but,
pick. I mean, you know,
first round
a lot
pick.
Of first round picks that make flashy plays and stuff, but for some reason, you're the guy that can't go away for a weekend.
You know, that's a million-dollar question really right now is why me? I'm sure there was plenty of other people in Vegas and around the country, but for some reason I'm on the news circuits and doing that. And I don't know, maybe it's just my style of play or the things that I have accomplished in such a short amount of time. I mean, it's all a blessing for me to be in this position, but to the extent that it's magnified, I couldn't tell you why that is.
Kyle Shanahan said that he can't really assess where you are right now. It's simply too early. Where do you assess yourself as far as where you're at?
Yeah, learning. I'm just learning every day. Studying the plays, trying to pick this stuff up. It's different than what I did in college. It's a little bit similar to some things I did with Coach Sherman in my first year. And, I mean, that was 3 years ago. So, and it's different on top of that. So I have a lot to learn. There's obviously a lot from a college level to an NFL level. So it really is hard for anyone to assess. I think I'm getting better every day, though.
Hey, Johnny, you had a lot of opportunities, obviously, coming out. As far as your marketing and whatever, why did you decide to go with LeBron's group? And what do you think you're going to get out of it with being with them?
I was really close with Maverick Carter. I got a chance to meet him on a trip to Toronto and got a chance to know him. And a guy who I knew a lot about, obviously, knowing LeBron and a little bit about his story. And when it kind of came time and towards the end of the season and didn't know what I would be doing, but then really when I decided to go turn pro, I kind of got an offer from them. It wasn't like I was with a big group. It was really just LeBron and then Maverick extending the offer out to me. So when you look at who the best player in the NBA right now is, you look at LeBron and somebody that is at the top of his game and does so much marketing-wise and so many good things. I felt like if I got the offer extended to me, it was really a no-brainer. And now when you look at it, them being in Akron and being from this area, it's even better.
What have you ever
been like here after work hours? What do you do in Cleveland?
Nothing. I go straight back to the hotel and get ready for the next day. So I haven't really got to see the city much just because of the way things are right now. I actually haven't been downtown. I haven't been anywhere from a shuttle from here to the hotel and back, and maybe to a Chipotle or something.
Johnny, do you look at the situation that you're in now with all this attention and all the zaniness and the craziness and ever think to yourself, this is kind of fleeting, this might only last a certain period of years, and therefore you can deal with it from that standpoint?
No, I mean, hopefully my goals and what I want to do moving forward, I don't want this to be anything that's short-lived. Right now, the thing that I'm just wondering about the most is I haven't really done anything at this level. I haven't done anything to establish myself or create this type of buzz or anything like that. I'm just another rookie. I'm just another guy that comes up just like any other quarterback or any other guy does from the next year. Heisman Trophy and did some okay things in college, but I haven't done anything here. So for me, I'm trying to just accept the buzz that was kind of like it was in college, even though I haven't done anything here, and it's a little bit of a question still. Can I get the definition?
It's a spelling bee.
Moralistic.
You're from Texas. You must have encountered some of that.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I don't really think so.
Johnny, I respect what you're saying about competition right now. I respect what you're saying about people wanting to stick a camera in your face, but you did. You put, I think it was on your Instagram page that had the Gronkowski photo, and that for some people carries a perception. I mean, do you think you could do the same kinds of things like a Tom Brady does, and maybe not be as visible?
I mean, I feel like Tom and those guys are in a way different stage of their life. I mean, they're with they have a family, and they go home every day to their family. I'm not married, don't have any kids, I have a lot of free time, and I posted the picture. The picture was already out there. So the picture was making its rounds eventually, whether it was me posting it or not. So for me, I thought it was a picture of me and a guy I've got to know recently, and Rob, and thought it was pretty funny. Didn't put much into it.
Johnny, have you seen your celebrity change people around you? Have you had to pull your circle a little bit tighter?
I have a great group of friends that I've had for a long time. I mean, there's obviously been people, and anybody will tell you this going into the situation, there's people that, I mean, I'm here now on my own, trying to do something special and obviously compete and play in the National Football League. And my friends, some of them are back in college or graduating, they're off doing their own thing. So as much as I love those guys and have a tight circle, I'm just at a different phase of my life doing different things and trying to do something special. So we're really just different points, but you've seen friends come and go just like anybody else does in life.
Ecker Quinton Groves. Quinton,
Welcome to CBD. We heard you've been clamoring to get on here, so we got to make sure we make this a regular thing with you.
We can make it a regular, man. It's a great show. I listen a lot. Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate that. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
Quentin, we just we ran some sound from today, Johnny Manziel meeting with the media. I want to just kind of get this quick thing out of the way. As a teammate and as a veteran, someone who's been in the league, you know, everybody gets different levels of attention in this game. Quarterbacks obviously get more love than guys who play on your side of the ball, the defense.
Right.
But does that, you know, that effect of Johnny football and all the mania and all that coming, how do the rest of you guys take that, especially as veteran teammates?
Well, you know, with us, he's done a great job. You know, I think Joe Thomas said it best. He's been real quiet. He's kept his mouth shut and just walk around the facility, not saying too much. I think he's handled it well. You know, give credit where credit's due. The guy worked hard to get where he is, to do the things that he's done on the football field. So when you do what you do, what he has done on the football field, you know, the accolades are gonna come. The pressure's gonna come. The friends are gonna come. So, you know, and then at the same time too, he let's not forget the guy wins games. Everybody wants to get to talk about his extravagant lifestyle and what he does off the field, but on the field he takes care of business. I could see if he was a knucklehead and not taking care of business, but he's not. He takes care of business on the field.
Quentin, you had an interesting offseason coming back from the ankle injury. Talk a little bit about the rehab, because it is a good story, what you were doing there to get back to where you are, because on the field now you wouldn't even know you were coming off of an injury.
Right. I give thanks to the Most High for allowing me to have a speedy and full recovery. But I spent some time in the Caribbean. A lot of people, especially a lot of Clevelanders, got mad at me because I was in the Caribbean February through April while they were dealing with this harsh winter.
That was smart.
Sorry,
guys. We're just jealous. We want to be there with you.
That's smart.
Sorry, guys. But, yeah, like I said, I give credit to my trainer. The name is kind of different. Zephyrnius Nicholas. He was my trainer, as well as Oba Goldston, as well as Jason Pilgrim, the sports medic TT in Trinidad and Tobago. We took time and just really, like I said, broke my body down, and we're seeing great results. You know, I've shedded a couple pounds, I've leaned up, I've toned up, and I like the results. You know, we're still not, it's still a product in the works, but we're still working at it. And I thank my trainers every day, man. I send them a message there, like, how you feel, how does the body feel, how you move, and everything else like that. So.
Yeah, and Quentin, it seems like a trend. We talked with Paul Kruger a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He talked about leaning out a little bit too, and just guys who have been a little larger. I know that's not true for everybody. They want some guys. We heard Mike Pettine say that Barkevious Mingo maybe could put some more weight on. But right. In reference to you and Paul and others who have gone more the leaner route, explain how that fits into, because that's always done with a purpose, this scheme and your responsibilities in it.
Well, my role, you know, the great thing about me is I know my role. You have some guys who try to bulk up, you know, and in certain situations, like, you know, Mingo's a small guy. Let's not get it twisted. Mingo's a small guy, but he does a great job at what he does. But I know my role, which is a special teams guy, as well as a great backup. And if my role accelerates, it accelerates, but as of right now, that's my role. So I have to run down and cover 50-yard kicks, and I have to run down and cover 50-yard punts. And being 265 pounds, it's kind of tough, you know. And so once I said, okay, well, I took a step back and looked at my body and said, okay, how do I get faster? How do I get stronger? How do I extend my career? And I think, like I think Paul said it too, that as you get up in age, you learn that you have to eat better. You have to take care of your body. You have to get the massage. You have to go to the chiropractor. You have to lean out, because you only get one of these things. And, you know, your body is not, you know, the human body is not really designed to handle that much force and that much weight at one specific time, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why offensive linemen, and they move in short spaces. So being a defensive lineman or outside linebacker and trying to move in space, and being a special teams guy, you have to be able to move in space and be quick on your feet. And that was the reason why I did it, is because I knew my role.
You've been one of my favorite guys since you came here. I don't know if you remember this, but at training camp last year, I think it was the first training camp, and there wasn't really supposed to be hitting.
Right.
And you rocked somebody. I think it was Josh Cooper on the sideline and made a save. I'm like, I like this guy. He's got a lot of attitude and swagger. When you look at the kind of attitude, because it seems, you know, Mike Pettine's got some, Jim O'Neill's got some. Do you feel like this defense really kind of fits with your personality and what you want to do on the field?
Well, I think it's a great defense. If you look at it, everywhere it's gone, it's been statistically, it's been a great defense. it's gotten a lot of players to the Pro Bowl, gotten a lot of players accolades, you know, and it's an attack style of defense, you know, and that's my mentality. If you see me in pregame warm-ups, I'm probably the most amped guy you ever
seen. You are. I love it. I love that
so,
about you.
So that's what I like, man. And, you know, OTAs are good, but you never really get the true feeling. Yeah. So you can't really get the true feel of what it's going to be like. But I'm excited to see the finished product, like in preseason as well as in regular season. So it fits because, you know, I'm an aggressive guy. You know, and if they tell us all the time, if you guys are wrong, just go wrong, be in 100 miles an hour. And, you know, that takes a lot of thinking out of the game. You know, it's not so much like football is a great sport. But at times some coaches make you, okay, you have to do this. This is not a paint by numbers defense, if you know what I mean. But it's a defense that said, hey, go be a football player and play football. And that's the great thing about the defense.
Yeah, it is good.
Good attitude.
Yeah, you can see you guys playing fast. That's what I noticed. Right. People are already playing fast, and it's a new scheme, which is good to see. Now, last year was a very young defense. Right. This year, yes, there are some new young pieces being brought in. But when you bring in Carlos Dansby, who you're familiar with from Arizona, you bring in Dante Whitner, who obviously you competed against in the NFC West in San Francisco. What's it like getting that kind of influx of veteran leadership on that defensive side of the ball?
Well, it's great. It's great because, you know, last year on the defense, DeQuell was the old guy. I was the old guy. Not old guy, but a veteran guy. So it kind of brings that presence that we know how to practice. We know how to get ready for a game. You know what to expect because at the point of a lot of our careers, like mine, Carlos's, Dante's, Kruger's, Atiyah Rubin and stuff like that. That you're at the point now that you know all you got to do is tell us where to go. We can play with the gray area, you know, and things like you can play that much faster. So when you have leaders like that and you have old guys like that, you can tell the young guys, hey, expect this, do this and watch for this, do this and do this. And it kind of helps everybody play that much faster that you don't have to worry about, okay, what is my job? Of course you have to do your job, don't get it twisted, but at the same time, you can have guys to play faster. That if I know on 2nd and 6 they're going to do this play, I can cheat to this play, and it makes us play that much faster. You know, to have all those leaders and all those veterans on one defense, it makes a lot. It makes a difference.
Browns linebacker Quentin Groves joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Quentin, the overall tone and atmosphere, and you're going into your second season, and obviously – unfortunately, it's a lot of changeover because it means things didn't go well last year. So it's a new coaching staff, kind of new thoughts and ideas, new players around. What's the vibe to you? I know I think I remember asking you about this last year, and a lot of players were trying to get their feel on that and trying to be optimistic. That's what you have to be as a player. Expect the best. But what is the true sense of overall picture of where you see this team going into this season right now?
Well, I see this team. I see great things. Well, Coach Pettine always talks about every team has a great offseason. Every team has a great set of OTAs. Every team has a great first day.
Right. Yep.
And I think we've had, like I said, we've had those great days. We've had those great first days. And we've had a great offseason. So, but actually, I really see this team different from last year's team. We're older. You know, we lost a lot of games close last year. So, and the core of our team was here for those losses. The core of our defense as well as the core of our offense was here for those losses. So, we know how to win games now. It's not to the point to where we hope to win games. Now we expect to win games. And that's a big difference with that when you're playing as a young team hoping to win games and then and knowing that, okay, we know how to win games now, that we can't give up 14 points in the fourth quarter via the New England game. We can't give up a 7-point lead via the Jacksonville game and then they come back and win it. We know that, hey, let's get a turnover and end the game. On offense, let's get a score, go drive down, get a score to put this game away. And I think we have that mentality now, that killer instinct that every team needs to be a successful team in this league.
That's good. It's great to hear because closing out games, that's what the Browns struggled with last year. You've talked about how this is a simplistic defense in the sense that it allows you to play fast. Mm-hmm. Compared to last year's defense, would you say last year's was much more complex in terms of your responsibilities?
Well, I wouldn't say complex, but I would say – we had to really be sound, you know, and if one person was out of position, it was a big run or a big play. And that's the way Ray Horn's defense, the Steelers defense is designed. But with this defense, we have those make you right players. and we teach that make you right. So we can let our D-line play fast, and we can let our linebackers flow and run to the ball because our safeties and our corners will – they'll make us right. So I think in that sense, it was more difficult because we had to really hone in. Okay, I got to be here, got to be here, got to be here, got to be here. But if this defense, I don't specifically have to be here. If I'm not there, I know he has my back because that's the way we've been practicing for so many OTAs, so many training camps and things like that.
I like that. That's good. He's smiling ear to ear as he's saying this, by the way, about getting to attack and go and be where he wants to be. Now, you did rehab in Trinidad and Tobago. Right. That's pretty cool. Right. So what did you do for Memorial Day? Since apparently Instagram and Twitter weren't blowing your Memorial Day plans up, what did you do for Memorial Day?
Well, I kind of got jealous because a lot of guys told me they were going to Miami, Las Vegas, Toronto, doing things like that. I was actually at home in Orlando. Me and my wife, we really sat down and cleaned out the garage for 2 days. I took 2 days to clean out my garage.
Woohoo!
Really see?
Party?
See? So
how's that not all over Twitter?
I just sat down, got away from it all, took time to do it. Because that's what I love to do, work around the house, you know, whether it be gardening, whether it be putting up my kids' swing set or doing things like that to see them run around. That's my joy. You know, uh-huh. I've had my days of Miami, Las Vegas, you know, and it's as a
settling down.
Yeah. That's the blessing of life. That's the beauty part of life, that you get to see your kids grow up, as well as just sit in the backyard, have a barbecue, watch the kids run around on a swing set, man, and you're like, man, this is life.
Yeah.
You know? So you gotta give thanks for that.
Absolutely.
Quentin, you do. And you mentioned something a little earlier about special teams and it's kind of rare, I think, in this NFL day and age, the business of the league allowing teams to have someone with your level of experience, right, involved in the coverage. So it's a real benefit for this Browns team. But you're assessing everybody when you're out there. You're looking at all these young guns, and you know these young guys are going to be surrounding you, helping you make those plays and those steps. What's your feeling? Because you can sort it out now. You, Chris Tabor, you guys are starting to get that feel. All right, who's part of this group of kick coverage and so forth? Give me an assessment of that, early assessment of that.
Well, without giving away too much,
Kiko's
really moving around a lot. He's playing pretty fast. He's going to be a special one to watch. You also have young guys like Desir.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Desir. He's a long-rangey guy that can really move in space, and he's going to surprise some people. But, yeah, Coach Taves, we really just sit back and look and say, man, we got a fast group, a pretty fast group. I was talking the other day, and we said this is probably the fastest group that I've seen in the NFL since I've been in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty fast because you got to realize who we have on the squad. I'm going to let you guys do your homework, all you Browns fans that are listening. Do your homework and just take a glance at the roster right now. And if you could get the 40 times, you're going to be like, whoa.
It is a quick group. You see it, though. You see it in practices. Right. It is a much quicker team, I think, certainly. And also, when you're able to play fast, you look that much faster, as you alluded to earlier, Quinn. One of the things we like to ask the defense guys when they get in here is, you know, last year you played against a team that really couldn't run the football.
Right.
And one of the things that is standing out to me, at least these OTAs, is a commitment to run the football. And they got some guys back there in Ben Tate and Terrence West who can run it. From the defensive side of things, how are you seeing this ground game of the Browns under Kyle Shanahan?
Well, I think it's going to surprise people. You know, everywhere it's been, via the zone scheme, look at what it does in Houston, what it did in Houston for Arian Foster, what it did for Ben Tate in Houston. And I think he fits what they do, and I think Terrence is going to fit that mold too, because I've seen, as you see Terrence run, Terrence doesn't run like a 230 pound back. He's elusive. Yeah. He's a guy that is one cut and get upfield, and he lowers his shoulder. You know, even we were in OTA, I kind of told him a little bit, hey, Rook,
got to back up a little bit. Yeah.
You know, but he's a guy that's going to surprise some people with his speed too. And then you have the change of pace with Deion Lewis. So I think this group and what we're committed to doing is going to be pretty well dividends for us, man. And I hope pray that everyone stays healthy and everything comes into fruition.
And you're talking about a young guy in Terrence West, one of the rookies. Now, Chris Kirksey, coming from Iowa, linebacker, was outside in college. It looks like they're moving him inside. So I don't know how much you guys actually interact with the outside and inside linebackers. But what have you seen from him and his development as he's trying to kind of get up to speed here in this defense?
He's quick. I mean, I've seen him. He gets to the ball. He runs to the ball. It may be the fresh legs being a rookie, but he really gets to the ball. And he can really move well in space. Those are my first two assessments from seeing him in camp so far. Of course, he has a lot. He has to grow up a lot, you know, to learn the scheme as well as to learn NFL linebacker play. But he's going to have a great teacher in Carlos and a great teacher in Craig as well, who he's learning from. Believe it or not, Zach Dowse, who's been in the league 8 years, he's going to be a great teacher for him. Hey, look out for this and watch for this. So he has a great nucleus around him to help him be a successful linebacker. He was asking me questions the other day about how do I do this, how do I take care of my body, and what am I supposed to do. And so he's hungry. That's the biggest thing that you look for in a rookie is he's hungry, that he wants to soak up everything that he can get. And like I said, he's gonna surprise some people as good as he can be. Sky's the limit for the kid.
Good stuff. Good. Quentin, thank you so much for the breakdown. And you said it. You we want you on this show often, so consider this the first of, we hope, many appearances on CBD.
I thank you guys, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.